There is a highbrow rumble brewing in Boston. In one corner, one of the premier institutions of higher learning. In the other, one of the world's most renowned architects. It's all about one of the boldest architectural projects built in the past 5 years. Okay, if you're anywhere near the internet, online, you have your wireless going, go to our website, npr.org/Bryant Park, and you'll see the images we've posted of the Stata Center designed by Frank Gehry for MIT. Now, the top engineering school is suing the top designer because the darn building has some serious problems. The complex includes academic offices, laboratories, and amphitheater. It looks like something kind of out of a Tim Burton movie, and apparently that might be part of the problem. From the city where it's all going down is Diane Georgopoulos, is the president-elect of the Boston Society of Architects. Hi, Diane.
Oh, good morning.
So we'll talk about the details in a minute, but I need to dish with you for a moment. Is this just the story that has all architects just talking at this point in Boston?
Well, it's an important story, to be sure. It's a great building, a high-profile building. Frank Gehry is a tremendous innovator, and MIT is MIT. You know, so, yeah, we're talking.
It has just got all the elements of a highbrow soap opera. Let's start at the basic. What is the basic issue with the Stata Center? What does MIT allege?
Well, I think that they're alleging that there are deficiencies in the design, that as a consequence of, I think, probably certain decisions around the way certain materials were used, certain construction details were drawn, and that there are deficiencies that the Institute has had to revise and reconstruct. The contractor apparently stepped up to try to mediate some of those difficulties with MIT, but apparently that didn't work. And so I'm sure the decision by MIT to sue the architect was not arrived at lightly.
It's interesting. There have been discussions about whether there have been giant leaks, whether there's mold in the building. But the suit isn't just against Gehry. It also includes those contractors you talked about, Skanska USA. They built the complex. In cases like this, who's ultimately responsible for the building's viability, the architect or the builder?
Well, I think that that will probably come out in the suit. I mean, I think that there's going to be finger pointing all over the place. And I think, you know, probably one of the most important things that we can take from this as a lesson is that when you have an architect who's really willing to be an innovator, as Gehry is, I mean, he really is a pioneer. He's invented all kinds of new ways to think about design and construction as a consequence of technology. That the way the contracts currently work, it's very burdensome to innovate, and that the sanctions that are applied in these conventional modes are really assigning risk that in a innovative atmosphere are completely untenable. So you'd have
It's got to be harder to build a curved wall or an angle that's not 90 degrees.
Well, I think that what it means is that if you are going to try to build buildings like this, and I think the public likes the idea of doing things that are as exuberant and innovative as the Stata Center is, that you have to reconsider the relationship among the architect, owner, and contractor, so that they have to be in a more integrated relationship, so that the finger-pointing that's going on now isn't a consequence of assigning risk the way risk is currently assigned.
Is he following in a proud tradition of really daring buildings designed by superstar architects that don't work very well? I think of Frank Lloyd Wright and the various things he's done, particularly in L.A. where I used to live, like the Ennis Brown House, which is literally falling down a hillside by Griffith Park. I mean, is this just what happens when he tried to do something interesting?
Not necessarily. I mean, I thought you were going to tell me that, you know, the other famous architect named Frank had a client who complained that his building leaked and he was told to go hire a plumber.
was that Falling Waters? What building was that?
Well, I don't know. I don't think that was one. But I think that architecture in so many ways is an exceptionally difficult challenge. I mean, it looks like, well, just put the building together and, you should know how to a roof goes in and how a window goes in and how the heating and ventilating system go in. But the fact of the matter is, in many of these cases, the materials and systems that are being used for the first time in this application, and that there are many details that need to be thoroughly worked out. You know, in the case of Geary's buildings, I mean, he's been so innovative about the use of new materials in new applications. And when you think about, you know, the flashing and the mechanical fasteners and the differential rates of settlement or expansion and contraction, all of these things are, you know, really quite extensive engineering questions.
Let me I need to ask you an opinion question. Geary has, and I don't mean to beat up on him, but he's been criticized before. There was the Walt Disney Concert Hall that had the stainless steel that apparently focused the sun rays into like a really super heat trap. Will these kind of events and these kind of lawsuits, could they damage the reputation of someone as popular and renowned as Frank Geary?
You know, it's such an interesting
question.
I think that it probably won't. At the end of the day, I think, you know, it's like, as I said before, Geary is a pioneer, and the pioneers get the arrows, and the settlers get the land.
You know? the arrows in the chest.
Yeah.
Right.
And the
feels
fact
like
is,
this radio show.
You know, what he's put in the landscape, I'm not sure we want to see a whole neighborhood of Frank Geary buildings. You know, I'm not sure I could quite imagine what that would be like. But, you know, you really have to stand back from this and say, here's a guy who is so committed to a vision of architecture that he's really staked his entire reputation and body of work to explore this new form. And, you know, I would be very unhappy to see the end of his career as a consequence of what I believe are really construction-related problems and things that, you know, frankly, if MIT wanted to turn this one around, they could probably call up their own architecture and material science department.
Yeah, seriously, who do they have hanging around there?
You know, how could we have done this better, you know? It's interesting.
Diane Georgopoulos is the president-elect of the Boston Society of Architects. Thanks for being with us, Diane.
Thank you very much.